Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Tuesday, October the 12th, 2021. On this edition of the Politocrat, how do you measure success? What is success to you? That's the question on this edition of the Politocrat. Coming up next. Welcome back, dear listener. Welcome back on this Tuesday. Hope you're well. And I just want to ask you, what is success to you? What do you think success is? I mean, there's the dictionary definition that I am so tempted to read, but no, I didn't really have to. I think we all know what success is. We're not silly. We're not silly fools. We are people who have some understanding of the world around us, at least a functional understanding of it. And I don't like sometimes to be so definitional about some things, because I think that even though words mean things, and they certainly do, and definitions are there, there are always contexts and contextual things that can be gleaned from definitions. So when you say success, success in what realm? Success according to whom? The society? Yourself? Your family? Success according to what? And compared to who? Do you compare yourself? You know, if you score a successful score on a test, but you are eighth in your class, is that a success? Do you view yourself in that way? If you want to finish top of your class, and you're in a college or high school environment, let's say high school, and you had a goal of getting 100 out of 100, but you only got 97, and seven other people got 100. Are you a success or a failure? Of course you're a success, but maybe you're not happy with 97. 97 isn't good enough. I mean, I remember always being told only the best is good enough. And so I might bring a 97 home, a 98 home, but it's not 100, not good enough. I mean, it's very good, but it's not 100 good. So success is a matter of perspective sometimes, a matter of degree, but it's also very clear and certified and exacting. If you win or lose a game, and there are baseball playoffs going on, the postseason in the major leagues of baseball here in the United States, so forgive me for mentioning that sports perspective for a second, but let's say you play a game of baseball and you win the game. Doesn't matter whether you win the game 3-1, 5-1, 15-1, you know, 5-4, 2-0. It doesn't matter as long as you have more runs than the opposing team. And if you win the game, that's all that counts. But in some other aspects of life, it's not so simple. Not so simple. What if you are I'm going to go back to sports, Olympic athlete, and you go in there and go, yeah, you know, I want to get gold this year. And at the Tokyo Olympics, which we had this year, the Summer Olympics, you finish second, you get a silver. But all things considered, you went through some hell just to get that silver. Is that a success for you? I mean, how do we judge success? I think is the key to all of this. I mentioned this today because there are people who look at success and they wonder if what they do is good enough. I mean, for example, I think, again, I do go back to sports. I think of the Premier League in football in England. And there is a manager named Pep Guardiola. Guardiola is a manager who has managed a team called Manchester City for a number of years now. And he's been successful before he got to Manchester City. Oh, I guess you use the word success again. But even when that team wins, when Manchester City wins a Premier League game or any game in football, and I know people in the United States call it soccer, but the world calls it football, so I'm going to call it that. And if I'm talking about the NFL, I will say so. But in this case, I'm talking about the Premier League in England. And when Manchester City wins a game, quite often you will see Pep Guardiola, the manager of Manchester City, getting into his players, ripping them new ones. And new twos and new threes. He's ripping them severals. About you didn't do this, you didn't do that. He's gesticulating so vividly and angrily at his players. And they won the game 3-0. 5-0. And he's screaming at them. I mean, goodness gracious me. But that's the reason why some people want to play for someone like that. Because he tries to bring the very best out of them. And so it's very possible if you're playing for Pep Guardiola or some other managers in the Premier League of Football in England, that you might win a game 3-0 and you got a miserable manager. You didn't play good enough. I didn't like the way they played. You might have some fans. It doesn't have to be football, any sport. I don't like the way they played that game. Still won the game, though. But like I say, sometimes it's not so straight-line-ish because maybe it's about the performance. Maybe it's about how you applied yourself. Maybe it's about how you didn't like the way you had to go through all these other hoops to get to where you wanted to get to, even though you completed the darn thing, whatever that is in your life. What is success to you? How do you define it? And what does success mean to you once you have attained and achieved it? I mean, my definition of success is an achievement that you have reached. That's success. Right? An achievement that you have reached. It could be an achievement. It could be, you know, it doesn't even have to be reached. The achievement is the achievement. But that's what success is. It's an achievement. You have reached a goal. You have fulfilled it. Success is the result of a fulfillment. It is a fulfillment, right? Those are, I think, my most simplest and clearest definitions of success. We don't have to run to Webster. I mean, you could if you really wanted to. But Webster is not the end of the world. I mean, it's not the be-all and end-all. Of course, dictionary definitions are one thing, but life experience tells you a lot more than dictionary. What? Life experience tells you a lot more than a dictionary definition can tell you about anything. And you know that. You think outside the box and you think outside the book. I mean, of course, facts are facts. I'm not going down that hole either, that rabbit hole, that craziness that says, oh, no, we don't want to take vaccinations. Ooh. You know, these people who think that world events never happened, or people who think that, oh, this was staged at Sandy Hook. Just ridiculous. People like this are so disgusting. They're really disgusting. And that's what happens when you have a media that is completely privatized, pretty much, and you have all these fairness doctrines removed, and you have all this other stuff that's taken out, you know, the Telecommunications Act of 96. That's what happens. You get garbage like this. But how do you, dear listener, define success? Welcome back. I could say, you could say, we could say that success is what you make it. I mean, I think that's pretty much what we all could say, right? That success is what you make it. If you want to define success, well, success is what you make it. That's the same, I guess, in some ways as saying life is what you make it. Although, maybe not. But how do you define success? What is success to you? I mean, I think it's one of those things that is important to ask. Because if we're talking about our lives, if we're talking about what's going on in the political arena, I think that's an important word. But I don't think it's a word that should ever come with the trappings of what a society that is filled with corporatized messaging and corporate controlled messaging should be. I mean, I should say, it's not, success is not what those entities tell us it is through commercials, for example. Success is not having the quote-unquote perfect body. That to me is not success, and I apologize readily to anybody that I've just stepped on here, because I don't think there is such a thing called a perfect body. I don't know what the heck that is. What does that mean? Perfect to whom? You know, for example, I mean, that was the first thing I thought of that came into my head. And that's marketed in magazines as success, as perfection, I should say. And if you've attained or got this so-called perfect body, you are a success in that way, in the culture that we live in the patriarchal culture that we live in a corporate culture that we live in. That is what is branded as success through the repeated marketing of that particular image on newspaper, in newspaper ads and on magazine covers. And it gets reinforced and reinforced and reinforced in products. You know, I'm not going to mention brand names, but you know all the brand names. And then a certain type of person, usually a blonde-haired white woman, is objectified as success. This is what you should be. If you are successful, you should look like this, and you should sound like this, and you should be wearing this. And what about those shoes and the hair? Oh my God. That's what these ads are subliminally telling you. In fact, they're not even subliminally doing it. They're throwing it in your face. So for all of your life, you have been bombarded with that image of what quote-unquote success is. And again, as I said, the magazines throw that in your face all the time. And so many people have either died or been so profoundly miserable trying to measure themselves up to that image, which is a completely, in my view, completely artificial image. Quite frankly, I don't think the people who have cultivated that image, Madison Avenue, even believe it themselves. It's a pure money-making vehicle. So this idealization, this pedestal worshiping, this kind of objectification is thrown at us as success. I mean, it's even in the dialogue that we speak. Trophy wife. You know, I quite frankly think that that's a derogatory term. And listen, I'm not like I've never uttered it myself before in my life. Yes, I have. I'm surely not the only person on the planet, but that's not the issue of being the only person who's ever said that term before in my existence. But it's a derogatory term. I don't use that term anymore. I used it many years ago. But that's a term that is used, right? Trophy wife. Well, I'm using that term now, but I'm using it to make a contextual point, which is that word, trophy. You've won something. You are the champion. This is this. I'm pointing to, obviously you can't see this. I'm pointing to an imaginary, I don't know, magazine cover or something. This is what is success, right? You've made it and you've won. And this is what you get to go home with. Or this person, rather, is who you get to go home with. Along with you, that is your trophy. So there's this objectification. And then you look at sports, and then you look at, I can go really burrow into that, right? With professional sports athletes, male athletes, and who many of them are going home with, right? And who they're married to. And that's their business. But I'm just saying that you do have, for example, some black male athletes who have bought into that narrative of what the trophy wife is supposed to look like, who she's supposed to look like, right? And again, I don't like that term. And I've said it, what, six times here in the last 3 minutes or so. Right? And there's been a complaint for many years in segments of the black community, from mainly from black women. And quite frankly, I don't blame black women at all for having, not, and I'm not every black woman, but some black women for having an issue with this at all, I don't blame. For some of the black men who are professional athletes, who are going home with a particular type of woman who is white, generally speaking. And that's a big complaint that's been a real concern for a long time. Not the complaint that's been the concern, but what the specifics of the complaint are, is that some of these black male athletes, professional athletes, are marrying these so-called, I don't know, what would you say, Madison Avenue models? I don't know. Who are white women. So, I'm not commenting on that specifically, because I don't want to even go there. I mean, I could, but I'm not. And people make choices, and people are marrying who they would like to marry, and I'm not going to go anywhere near that, because people can love who they want to love. But that concern is there. That concern is there, though. And I think it's more than a legitimate concern. This has been going on for centuries. And of course, I think some of this also comes down to the enslavement that has happened to us in this country. But that is my whole point about that, from that, the whole perspective here, is that that is what success is defined as in the United States. 2.2 kids, the white picket fence, a certain amount of money, 2.2 cars, I mean, more cars than kids, or more kids than cars, and then you've got the dog. Well, the dog, I'm not going to complain about. The dog's not the issue, the dog's fine. I'm just joking, just being facetious. But I'm saying that there's this model that's very specifically targeted at us. Success. But is that success when you've got domestic violence in households? Is that success when you've got people who are desperately unhappy and miserable? Is that success when one of the members of the household is always out on the road doing whatever? Is that success when in that household that appears to be successful, you've got somebody away cheating? Is that success? Is that success when you've got someone, one of your kids, doing some buck wild stuff? Is that success when you've got all the trappings of riches, fame, fortune, financial security, but there is continuing dysfunction throughout your household? I think the whole message here, however you view success and in whichever lens you look through in which to view it, is, first of all, are you happy with yourself? And when I say, are you happy with yourself, I'm talking about, how do you feel about you? How do you feel about you as a human being? And this is a question to anybody who is listening. How do you feel about yourself? And it is how you feel about yourself connected to what the society that you live in has described success to be. How much of how you feel about yourself is tied to the society that you live in and its ideas of success and how those have been inculcated to you? Or what you feel about yourself is how you feel about yourself completely untethered from the society's definition of what success is. And the reason I ask that question is because it ties back to how I began this episode, which is, what is success to you? What do you view success to be. Not what the society views it as, but what do you view it as? And that's why I then come to this question of how do you view yourself? How do you see yourself? And how you see yourself has a lot to do with a lot of things. The way you were brought up, your state of mind, you know, whether you suffer from severe depression, perhaps, whether you were brought up in a household that was very strict, whether you were brought up in a household that was very open and loving and caring, and whether you were brought up in a place where perhaps you didn't see your parents, one or both of them. Maybe perhaps you have never seen your birth parents. You may be someone who is perhaps adopted. You may be someone who perhaps is someone who's never, as I said, never known who their family is, who their parents are. I mean, all of these things do have some bearing. And of course, the society itself and how the society views you. And when you make it, whatever make it means in the society, and you can ascribe any definition that you choose, how does the society that you quote unquote make it in, that you are successful in, see you and view your success? Do they view you as, oh, you're a one-off? Or do they view you as, oh, congratulations, you're a member of the club? Or do they view you as something else? I don't know. These are just questions that I am putting on the table for you to digest or think about. I don't know what to put it to you as, but I do want to say that I think that it's well worth thinking about, because I don't know. The engines of success for you may be very different for someone else. What is successful to you, obviously, to someone else may be different for you. But I do think that all of these questions do start with, how do you see yourself as a human being? Because maybe you might describe success as something that is very, very elementary, which is not, I'm not trying to denigrate that, but maybe success to you is something that's much, much more, I don't know what the word is, that is far less grandiose, perhaps. And someone else might see success as, I've got to scale Mount Everest. That's my target for success. They set the barrier or the ceiling of success a whole lot higher. And they may or may not attain it, but it is just a question of where they see success, and they view it differently. But that doesn't mean that they are quote unquote better people. It may mean that their upbringing is different. It may mean that their aspirations go a little further. It may mean that they are more ambitious as people. And that word ambitious can be problematic, I guess, because sometimes that word can be very denigrating. But what I'm trying to say is that is affected by your upbringing and how you feel about yourself. And if you don't feel in a positive way about yourself, you may not set your aspirations and goals and your vision of success to be perhaps very high. It may be a lot lower. You may not have a success setting at all in your worldview or in your day-to-day. There may be too many painful things that even prevent you from doing that. And that doesn't make you a worse person. It doesn't make you anything bad. It just is a view of who you are in the life that you're living. But that's not something that makes you better or worse. The problem is that this society says, well, you're no good. And social media reinforces, well, you're no good, Instagram. When I've talked about that, I talked about that last week or the week before, about how Instagram has Mark Zuckerberg has done these, you know, really horrible things, and how young women and young girls and women have really, really had a difficult, difficult ordeal because of things like Instagram, which show all of these unrealistic female bodies. I mean, really, it's just, I'm living the great life. I'm living the good life. And you look at the bodies of a lot of the women that you see, and it's completely unrealistic. A lot of those images are manufactured and doctored. Some of them are not. Some of them are not. But you can tell looking at a load of those images of women, and many of them are usually white women who are, you know, whatever, wearing next to nothing. You know, I mean, you know, come on now. It's just a mock, again, because you've got this male, white male dominated social media landscape, which these are the people creating this stuff. These toxic, rich, white, billionaire males creating all this. That's the worldview through what they filter everything is through one type of person, one type of woman. And even that is not for them good enough, like I said earlier, you know, because again, they don't even believe this themselves. So then these images get doctored. And then you've got so many women suffering, girls suffering. And that's what I talked about last week or the week before. Then you had the whistleblower at Facebook test. I think it was last week I did this. Again, these days just vanish. And I played you testimony from the whistleblower Frances Haugen. And she was on Capitol Hill, I believe it was last week. And she talked about what Facebook does and what Instagram does, and Mark Zuckerberg controlling both of them. And he controls WhatsApp as well. And whatever else he can put his grubby hands on. It's just disgusting, you know. Mark Zuckerberg's just really, I think, a horrible person. And he's got a hospital named after him now here in San Francisco. I told you about that last week. Anyway, the bottom line here, dear listener, is that all that glitters is not gold. And success is indeed what you make it. And you should set goals for yourself. You should set terms of success for yourself. But do not let a society do that for you. Do not let all of these images that are really false and quite frankly dangerous be the thing that you try to measure up against. Because it will really hurt you. And it will affect your self-esteem, as I've just mentioned with these particular younger women who have been on Instagram for hours trying to match up to something that is largely just not real. And we need to start teaching the society overall about how to value everybody. I think that's what we have to do. That's, to me, a successful venture, and it can be if we want it to be. We can teach a society to welcome everybody, to accept everybody, and not just use it for some corporate marketing slogan. Please don't, because it's empty. Don't force this with corporate advertising. We have to start doing this organically. We have to start making a real commitment to it, because a lot of these corporations that throw up these ads about body positivity are not hiring people in these ads to be in their boardrooms, are not hiring people that you see in these ads for body positivity to be the corporate heads of these organizations, are not employing policies in their organization to hire people who are in these body positive ads. They're not doing it. So what is the campaign for? You need to do this on the front end and in your boardroom. And you need to do it everywhere. I mean, I'm all for ads that show off body positivity. I'm all for that. But what I don't like from these corporations is the hypocrisy of it all. And that's got to stop. Same thing with the way they do Black Lives Matter. Oh, Black Lives Matter. And then they don't have any black folk in their boardroom. Then they don't advertise on black-owned network. Black-owned networks. They don't do that. So what is it all for? I mean, you can stick a Black Lives Matter sign in your window, but if you're not hiring black people, if you're not giving black people power in your organization, in your small business, in your corporation, then what is it? Black lives don't just matter on the streets when police are murdering us. Black lives matter in every facet of our lives. And every black life matters, including black trans lives. So these companies have to get real, absolutely real, and do this properly. If you want a successful company, speaking of success, then that's what you do. And you openly foster a welcoming. You make people welcome. Oh, you have to fit into our culture. Our culture. You have to learn our culture. We have a culture here. What the hell is it? Exclusion? What is your blooming culture? Because there are people from all kinds of backgrounds. And you need to be able to actively welcome them openly. And not just welcome them in a niche kind of way, but in front of every other employee of your company. Welcome people in who have been excluded from your table or from the table. And make a showing of that, not just for show, but make a showing of that every day by what you do. That is success in that realm. There are so many ways to define success, and I've just touched on a small few of them in this episode. What I really hope that people do is really consider what success is, and that people, whether it's you, me, us, or anyone else, calibrate success and rethink success. Because we have to define success in our own hearts and in our own minds, and not with other people's externalized idea of what success is, or their unrealistic idea of what success is, which is usually something, like I say, Madison Avenue, governing it through profit. Because if you are trying to measure up to what some Madison Avenue firm does as an idea of success for how you should look, especially when that Madison Avenue firm is doing it obviously from the profit motive, and that's their success, they're selling an image to you that they don't even believe in half the time. And even if they do believe in it, they're doing it to make money. They're not doing it for bolstering self-esteem. And if you are in that particular predicament, dear listener, of trying to measure yourself up against some image that's cultivated on Madison Avenue, you really do need to rethink that type of exercise that you may be engaged in. Because it's an exercise that more often than not will not end well. The bottom line is, in all of this, dear listener, is that you have to be happy enough with yourself. And at the end of every day, if you can have a measure of peace within yourself and a measure of self-love, you must love yourself before you can really properly love anyone else. Then I believe that you will at least be in a place where you can build something that keeps you in a good place, as good as you can hope for. And that, to me, is one way to define success. If you are able to get through every day and make it to the next day, that is success as well. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.